good to have everyone this morning. I wish we had more, but we don't, so we will be satisfied with those that we do have, and we encourage you to be back tonight. And we'll look at the lesson, Arm Yourselves, from 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. You can read that section of Scripture if you want over the afternoon, and we'll be looking at the lesson, Arm Yourselves. This morning our lesson is entitled from Philippians, where Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And so we see where throughout the first chapter, as Steve's been taking us through, we see where Paul prays for the Philippians in the first 12 verses there. And then he calls on the Philippians to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. And we rejoice in the fact that the gospel was preached. He did. Brothers were motivated by his bonds. You know, some brethren preached a pure and sincere gospel. Some didn't. But even though they didn't, Paul was thankful that the gospel was preached. So Paul desires to be a part of the Philippians' progress in helping them grow in things that Christ would have them to grow in. He called them the Philippians to walk worthy of the gospel. And he said God has granted to Christians that both believe and suffer on behalf of Christ. And so he's granted us, he's helped us, he's given all that he needed to give in order that that might be possible. And as we think about Philippians chapter 2, and Steve will get to this in his study, but it deals with Christ's mindset. And looking at beginning at verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you." He's going to go on to explain that. So think this way about how you ought to be thinking. He says, "Which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, he said, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I think this passage shows that eventually, even though people today and many throughout their life have denied the Lord Jesus, they will bow before him for sure. They will bow before him. But let us bow before him now in humble submission as Jesus humbly submitted himself to the death of the cross. So that's the essence of, I think, Paul's message. But what's our mind or our attitude? You know, the Christian's mind or attitude should be the attitude or the mind Jesus had. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So the essence of Jesus' attitude can be summed up by at least four qualities that we'll look at this morning, which are at the center of his character, the center of his being, and the heart who he was, the heart of one who he was. So what was his attitude? What was his mindset? That's what we want to talk about. First of all, he had a mind of sacrificing self, didn't he? He willingly gave himself. Jesus sacrificed his heavenly place to come to earth to die for all men, paying the price, regardless of what it cost him. John referred to Jesus as being the Word, which became flesh. He came in human form and dwelt among us, he said. We beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So regardless of what it cost him, he was willing to give up what he had to give up, especially heaven. Paul told us in Galatians chapter 4 that he was born of a woman. He said, "But when the fullness of time was come, Jesus sent forth his son, made of a woman," that shows his human characteristics, made under the law. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that God was made in the flesh, he said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest or made known in the flesh. Jesus was the perfect representative of God the Father, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, proclaimed of the Gentiles, preached on in the world, and received up in glory, referring to Jesus. Then in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he speaks of his humanity. He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, children of his kingdom, we as Christians were partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Seeing of angels preached unto the Gentiles, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. But by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he destroyed death. He brought to the end the fear of death." And then reading down a few more verses, verses 16 and 17 of Hebrews 2, the writer said, "For verily he," Jesus, "took not on himself on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things behooved him to be made likened to his brother," that is, in human form, "that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people." We see where, and then over in Hebrews chapter 4, he talked about how that we can come to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. We have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our difficulties or infirmities, and he is in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we see where Jesus sacrificed his heavenly place to come to this earth to die for us. Christians are to live sacrificial lives, and aren't we, in service to God, the one who sacrificed himself for us. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, "He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So in order to give our lives as a holy living sacrifice, our minds have to be renewed, don't they? We have to be of the mind that Jesus had, don't we? He said, "Let this mind be in you." It's interesting that Paul said that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Christians need to give thought to what we're holding on to in this life. Now, many want to hold on to various physical things of this life. They want to hold on to family. They want to hold on to things that are not in harmony with God's Word sometimes. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 26, he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father," or love less "his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." That's pretty plain language. I mean, you've got to put Jesus first. Let's put God first. We have to seek the kingdom first before our family. And whoever does not bear his cross, not willing to suffer, not willing to take up the cross of Christ and to suffer whatever we have to suffer, whether it be rejection by our own family, rejection by our friends, as Stephen alluding to in our study, he said, he cannot be my disciple. That requires sacrifice, doesn't it? The Hebrew writer talked about sacrificing and things that we need to hold on to, though. He said, but Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are. It's conditional, isn't it? He said, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope into the end, so we can't hold on to physical things like family and all that. He said, we're of his own house if we hold fast or grasp or don't let go of the teachings of Christ. In verse 14, he said, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to them. So endurance is required. We can't just be baptized and then give up and be of the right mind. Then in chapter 4, verse 14, the writer said, seeing that we have a great high priest, referring to Jesus, set us past in the heavens, Jesus Christ the Son, let us hold fast our profession, our confession. Don't let it go. Continue to believe and be obedient to God. Then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to that promise. So Jesus was faithful in all things, shouldn't we be? So we have the mind that Christ had, and we're going to have that mind as well. Paul told those in Thessalonica in chapter 5, verse 12, or 21 rather, he said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Don't let it go. Referring to the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, Peter or Paul told Timothy, he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He will be faithful to his purpose and his mission and his pleasing to the Father. Jesus will be faithful, even though we're not, because he can't deny himself. I don't have it on the screen, but Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1-3 is a good one to go to about holding fast or not drifting away, as the New King James puts that. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or let them drift away. He's talking about don't give up believing the gospel and being obedient to it. He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So the word of God always stands, doesn't it? So the question is, how are we giving? Are you giving? A number of years ago, I did a lesson about how are we giving. So are we giving in to compromise is the question that we ask. Are we giving in or giving on up on enduring trials or giving over to the opposition? Remember, Paul told the Philippians, don't let anyone create fear in you. Don't let anyone cease to make you stand firm to Christ by intimidation. Last of all, are we giving our all to God? That's how we should be giving, isn't it? So all these ways are to be considered. But consider what Jesus gave up when he came to this lonely earth of sin and sorrow. You know, it's hard to understand what it would mean to enjoy the glories of heaven. We've never seen that. And then suddenly find oneself encased in flesh of humanity. And we can only thank God that he was willing to make such a sacrifice for us. Next, Jesus had the mind of submission. He emptied himself. He emptied himself of himself. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man. He was willing to give up the divine realm of deity to come to this low earth of sin and sorrow. And Paul focuses on the humility of Jesus to show us what is needed to have harmony, peace, and unity like Jesus and his Father had. We can read about that over in John chapter 17, beginning at verse 19. But going back to this word empty, it means to be made of no reputation. He was in the form of man. He emptied, he had nothing as he once had in heaven. He was empty-handed. It's to divest oneself of their prerogatives, to abase oneself, according to Moulton, is what that word emptied means. He emptied himself of himself. he did not use his divine prerogatives. I don't mean to give the impression that he gave up deity. He wasn't deity. He was deity. He was 100% man and 100% deity. I can't explain that. But he didn't use the powers of deity to escape sin. He willingly obeyed the Father and submitted to the Father's will when he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Remember in Matthew's account, we see where Jesus, when he was tempted of the devil, he quoted Scripture, didn't he? The devil did too, oddly enough. The devil twisted the Scripture, but Jesus quoted it. The thing about John chapter 17, verse 19, we see that perfect harmony that Jesus had, the humility that he had to the Father. He says, "For their sake I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also of those who will believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, and that they also may be one of us, that the world may believe you that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." He said in verse 23, "I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one mind, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that you also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father," he said, "the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, and that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." So we see where they're connected and one by the unity, in unity, by the submission Jesus had to his Father. So Paul calls on Christians to follow the example of Jesus. Have the "thy will be done" attitude. When he prayed in regard to Gethsemane, verse 42 of Matthew chapter 26, the text is there, and again, the second time he went and prayed and said, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done." It wasn't what Jesus wanted, but he wanted what was needed to accomplish God's will, his Father's will. And so he had to die on the cross, didn't he, in order to accomplish that will. He was willing to do that. Sometimes we're not so willing to do what needs to be done. It was something that had to be done in order to have redemption. It was something that needed to be done in order to have salvation for man. In Luke chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say also," when he's teaching the disciples how to pray, they wanted him to teach them how to pray. He said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" So Jesus had the mindset of "thy will, my Father's will be done." Not my will, but my Father's will, thy will. So Jesus, he did not have a stubborn, self-serving attitude. He fully yielded to the will of his Father who sent him. In John chapter 6, beginning at verse 38, notice. He says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father which sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing." In other words, he has accomplished everything, but should raise it up in the last day. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So who will be raised up in the last day? Well, those who do the Father's will. The will of God. Remember Jesus said over in Matthew chapter we looked at this Wednesday evening, Matthew 7, verse beginning at verse 21. He was talking to religious people in Matthew chapter 7. We see where Jesus said that many would say to me, Lord, Lord. He said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And really, they had not done that in by the authority of God. He said, they will not profess that God ever knew you, depart from ye who work iniquity. But those who do the will of the Father, verse 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So our will has to be set aside, just like Jesus set aside his will. He submitted to the will of his Father. We have to do that to have the mind of Christ. So we see where Jesus also had a mind of selflessness. Jesus was a self-abasing person, not a self-exalting person. Jesus was the fullness of deity in fleshly, bodily form. He was not full of himself, but full of grace and truth, John said in John chapter 1, verse 14. So we sometimes say of an individual, that guy's full of himself. Well, he's always trying to draw attention to himself. He's lacking knowledge, he's trying to put on the show and trying to attract everybody's attention to him. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And we need to be recipients of that grace and that truth by believing what he has revealed to us. Verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself not equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of servant, being in the likeness of man. So he self-abased himself. He said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So John said he was full of grace and truth. And so as we live our lives here today in harmony with God's Word, we have to give unto Jesus the things that he would have us to render obedience to. And Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, as therefore ye have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in your faith, even as ye are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Then he said, take heed lest there be in any of you or anyone that make a spoil of you through his philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition and after the rudeness of this world, and not to Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was full of grace and truth. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see where he was God's representative on earth. He was God in the flesh, as John put it in the first chapter of John. So Jesus temporarily gave up the glories of heaven so that all who were obedient to might share into an eternal glory. Paul to the Philippians in chapter 6, he said, who existed in the form of God. Count it not to be robbery to be equal with God, a thing to be grasped. But emptied himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. And so we are to give up. The question is, what are we giving up in this temporary life, like Jesus did? What are we giving up in this temporary life to be certain that we might share the eternal glory of heaven? See, when Jesus gave himself to the death of the cross, what happened after that? Paul said, wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is to be glory, is the glory of God to the Father. And so we're to be ones who are in deep humility, or to be ones who are displaying humility by obedience to God's Word. Peter talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 5. He said in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, it's not on the screen, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. And then he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we're only humble ourselves to God's Word in our lives, which is temporary here on this earth. We're promised that we'll be exalted to be with him on high, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in order that we might be exalted in due time. But Jesus also displayed a mind of servitude. Now, Jesus' life was a life of service. He had a servant's heart. And I added this scripture. It's not on your handout. You can add it. You can write it in. John 13, 4 through 14. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, I think there's an important lesson here. Sometimes we miss. And so, as we think about the servitude that Jesus had, he took on the form of a servant being made in the likeness of men. John 13, verse 4, after they rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, Jesus said, he took a towel and girded himself. Reading verse from chapter 13 of John, verse 4. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I'm going to do, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Notice that. Was Jesus being humble by washing Peter's feet? Was he? He was, wasn't he? Here's another question. Think about this. Was Peter humbling himself to Jesus' offer? He wasn't, was he? So what's the point here? When someone humiliates us up and serves us, don't we have to accept the service they offer us? Don't we? Don't we have to humbly accept that, thank them for that? To be humble, we do, don't we? Peter said, if I don't wash your feet, you won't be with me. So Peter was not being humble in mind. He was not humbling himself to Jesus' offer. He said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me, Peter. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet also, but also my hands and my head. He changed his mind real quick, didn't he? And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed me is only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all. Refer to Judas. For he knew who had betrayed him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, you know what I've done to you. He said, you call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. We ought to serve one another, and we need to be those who have a humble heart to accept the service that someone offers us. You ever have someone say, well, I don't want you to go into any trouble for me. Well, people do have to go to trouble to help others sometimes, but you need to accept their offer. We're not being humble when we don't accept their offer. We need to humble ourselves like Peter was taught to do when he was told by Jesus, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you're not of me, Peter. We had a servant's heart. We had a servant's attitude. When someone serves us, what do we need to do? If you're in a restaurant and someone brings her food. What do you tell them? Thank you. We need to show humbleness to them. No. They're serving us. We need to show humbleness to them. It goes both ways. So we must wrap ourselves in this mindset to be approved of God. In Mark chapter 10, notice what Jesus said. He said, so shall it be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus served us by serving himself, by bringing us the gospel. So what should we do? We need to obey the gospel that he brought, accept the service that he rendered to us, be thankful that he died for us, to have the mindset that we need to have that's approved of God. So we must deny self, be willing to suffer, take up our cross. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he said, if any man come after me and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. So Jesus was spiritually servant-minded. Jesus' focus was on the spirit instead of the flesh, on the spiritual instead of the physical, on the heavenly instead of the earthly. And that's illustrated by what Paul told the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, he said, therefore, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above. I like how this is rendered from the New American Standard. He says, keep seeking those things which are above. Don't give it up where Christ is. See it at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things which are on the earth, for ye have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is this, or it is because of these things, that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech with their mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we're made in the image of God. We're to be holy. And that's what Paul said. You've got to put all these things off to be holy. Didn't use the word holy, but anger, wrath, malice, and all the things, immorality, and all those things. You can't be holy and hang on to that. You have to put on the mind of Christ and do those things that God has said you do. So this morning we looked at four qualities that we need to keep in mind. We looked at sacrifice. We looked at submission to Jesus. Submit himself to others and the cross. We saw where he was selflessness, the selflessness of his character. We saw the servitude that he had. And the question is, what is our mindset? That's the mindset that Jesus had, a mindset of sacrifice, a mindset of submission, a mindset of selflessness, a mindset of servitude. He served us. So what is our mindset? The less is yours if you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation. Remember, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. You find a lot of expressions that use the term, like in Ephesians chapter 5, for instance. Paul said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. There's a qualifying standard. Here's the standard of our mindset right here, which is also in Christ Jesus. Perhaps there's some here this morning who have not obeyed the gospel, or have you strayed away and not been fully submitted to God. We encourage you to think on the things that we've talked about. We know that alien sinners must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of their sins, of their life, and put those away, confess their faith in Jesus' Son, as being the true and only begotten Son, and be baptized to wash away our sins. and to live everlasting throughout the rest of our lives in a way that will bring glory and honor and grant that crown that's been promised to us. And when we sin, we need to repent and pray and ask for forgiveness of that sin. And perhaps there's some this morning who desire to come forward and make your wishes known, as together we stand and sing, we urge you to do that.